On this episode of Binged, Home Team. 2 years after NFL head coach Sean Payton wins the Super Bowl for the New Orleans Saints, Payton is suspended. He goes back to his hometown and finds himself reconnecting with his 12-year-old son by coaching his Pop Warner football team.
All right, so Home Team, I'm going to give it a popped rating. It's Adam Sandler. If you're a person that's going to watch this movie and you decide to click on it on the Netflix home screen, it's going to be a popped rating for you. You know, it's Kevin James. It's Adam Sandler. The humor is what you expect it to be. I think it kind of skews a little bit for a younger audience. I'd say this is a perfect movie if you're like a parent with like a kid and like you want some Adam Sandler on the TV, but you want something appropriate, but there's still some jokes that only adults will get. It's an Adam Sandler movie, but it's still fun. It felt like a kid's movie for me. What did you guys think?
I'll let you guys go first. I want to hear what you guys think.
Well, I'm right with you, Eric. I gave it a popped as well. Many of the same reasons you said. I thought it was a really good kid's movie. I would agree with that point. And I thought it still had the Adam Sandler charm. It wasn't as vulgar as like a Waterboy, but it definitely had like the kid's sports movie vibe to it with a little bit of an added adult humor, like you said.
And had that little like tinge of like heart to it too.
Oh, we'll get to that later. The heart strings were pulled every direction.
So I'm with the boys. I got popped as well. You know, it was all around. It was a funny movie. Had some good, you know, heart moments. But I agree. I wasn't sure to start. At first, I thought it was going to be a completely serious movie. And then you got kind of the funny parts. And as you go along, it kind of gets more funny, a little more heartfelt. It was definitely not a classic Adam Sandler movie, like one of the ones that he produces. But, you know, I agree. It's good for the family and all around great. Not quite must watch, but popped.
It was an Adam Sandler movie without Adam Sandler.
You can get the feel. You know the feel of an Adam Sandler movie, that he had his hand in it.
You guys are crazy. You guys are nuts. This is a Colonel movie. This is very forgettable. If you guys are seriously sitting here telling me that you're going to remember this movie in 2 to 3, 5+ years, I think you're crazy. I don't think it was a bad movie. I got a little excited just because we were going to talk about it. And I had to remind myself, no, this isn't popped. It's not that good. It's decent. It's not as good as Hubie Halloween was. I'm with James too. I thought it was serious and it wasn't. And some of the tropes just weren't there for me. We'll get into it, but I don't think it was all that good. I'm going Colonel here.
I respect that. I agree that Hubie Halloween was a better movie, but my point was that for its intended audience, it would be anybody that would actually click on the movie to watch it, I think, would like it enough.
I think this goes right in the category that it was trying to go for, like that preteen feel-good sports story. Like, it's right there with, like, Bad News Bears, Little Giants, slightly more towards Benchwarmers, where there was a little bit of the adult humor. No. I think it fits in there perfectly.
Let's get a little input from our acting expert. I thought the kid actors in this movie did enough to not detract from the movie. What do you think, Stevie?
All right, so I'm tossed between forgettable, which is Colonel, or good, which is popped. But the more I watched it, the more I thought, wow, I really do look like Taylor Lautner. But, you know, it was still a decent movie, I mean. I'm going to have to... You know, to anyone who likes a good sports movie, I'm gonna go with you should definitely watch this and say, wow, that guy really does like Steve, like Hugh Pertucci right there.
All right, so you landed on popped in the end.
Yeah, I landed on popped.
All right, let's get right into the actual
agree.
Discussion of the
I
show.
Would agree you look like Taylor Lautner because he definitely put on a couple pounds.
Boilers ahead! Pause now and watch this episode's featured Netflix original. I screamed and I didn't know.
A British are coming!
I'm picturing him at the front of a ship. Spoilers
ahoy! Spoilers ahead!
So we open with the spliced footage of Kevin James and the real footage of the Saints winning the Super Bowl, which I got a laugh out of. It's just funny seeing like Kevin James on the sideline. Like, if he wasn't like a known actor, I think he could maybe pass for Sean Payton. But just because you know he's Kevin James, it's like, it's kind of ridiculous that he's playing Sean Payton. And then there's a couple funny lines. Mr. Goodell is on the phone from that receptionist who becomes like a recurring factor. And then Sandler, he got like every sports analyst in on it. What'd you guys think about that first just opening credit type montage?
I'll start us out here. So I thought his chewing, if you just get a cut of Kevin James chewing gum, it's perfect. He looks exactly like him. And the Juicy Fruit thing is true to form. I sent it to Eric the other day. I saw it before I watched this movie too. Sean Payton is obsessed with Juicy Fruit. He's like yelling on the sideline, Juicy Fruit, give me Juicy Fruit. Give me the fucking Juicy Fruit. Another thing, did Kevin James lose weight for this movie? Or does he just look really good in shorts? Because there were some scenes where he was walking around with shorts on and he looked like a real coach. Like a little gut, but like so a little bit of calf flexion too. He kind of looked like a coach.
He for sure slimmed down for this. Okay. I don't know if it was for this or for regular health reasons. But I mean, compared to him in like Paul Blart Mall Cop to this, it's almost like two different people.
I think, did he dye his hair a tiny bit too for this role? Anybody know?
I don't know. I don't see him on a day-to-day basis.
Of his natural hair color.
But to your point, Greg, he might have nailed the Juicy Fruit, but whatever accent he was trying to pull off throughout the whole movie was very inconsistent.
But he only hit it on like key football terms, too.
It was weird. It was like weird football stuff, random like Texas slang. He would like try to bring out an accent, and then the other 90% was Kevin James.
Yeah, so and Sean Payton's.
This is where I got confused of where it's like a real movie or not. Like, it got me scared at the beginning because I was like, he cannot play Sean Payton. He's just not that kind of actor. And when he was trying to force that accent, I was like, this is not going to work out. But I think they were just doing it like, if you want to throw an accent in there, go ahead. Like, we don't really give a shit. It was kind of like, do as you want because no one's really going to care.
I will say overall, before we move on, just to wrap up Kevin James, I do honestly think this was one of his best acting performances that I've seen from him.
At times, yes. But at times, no.
Compared to, like, the usual, like, character he plays in, like, Grown Ups or in Paul Blart, where he's just, like, this goofball that fumbles over everything, I think, as far as serious roles go, he was pretty good.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. That was pretty good. I mean, come on.
That is a great flick. And he does put on a good show there, Stevie. You're right about that.
All right, so in this opening scene, it sets the story where, what is it, 2 years after the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, Sean Payton gets suspended. Was that really the reason for, like, paying or incentivizing players to knock players
Bounty
out?
Bounty Gate, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You never heard of Bounty Gate?
I didn't realize this was a real story. I thought they just, like, totally made this up.
No.
No, this is all, like, I would assume everything's true, but, like, the football story of it is true.
No, that was very legitimate, Eric. The defensive coordinator at the
Greg
time.
Greg Williams, Dr. Heat.
Greg Williams was literally paying players on defense to hurt the other team. And Sean Payton had to get suspended for it because he was overseeing the whole thing. I believe he still claims to this day he didn't know what was going on. Yes, but he says in the movie at one point, I forget if it was talking to the son or at the beginning, like, I'm still the head coach. Everything goes on under me. I need to take responsibility.
Gotcha. So because he's suspended, he goes back to his hometown, and the first time we see him is at his son's football game. He meets his wife's new husband. They're in a double snuggie. And then we see on the field.
Single snuggie.
It's a single snuggie. But it has like two holes for two people.
Double snuggie, though.
It's in Texas. In the fall. It cannot be that cold. Come on.
Well, they're a little soft down south, Greg. When it gets into the 60s, they put winter coats on.
So the team on the field is struggling. They're getting blown out. The scoreboard shuts off after 40 points and the game ends. And then Sean Payton meets the coaches, and everybody's kind of enamored by Sean Payton because he's back at like a high school or peewee football school in Texas. So he's kind of a big deal there. And then we'll end this little rant here from, they're back at the wife's house and Sean Payton's talking to the kids on the team. And we start to see the relationship between Sean and his son, who don't really have a relationship at all.
I'm going to throw this in there right quick. Rob Schneider makes any movie greater. He plays the same exact character in every single movie, like this weird ass crunchy dude.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, James. When did he make this turn into being like earthy, crunchy Rob Schneider?
Always.
Hasn't he always been like that?
He was the same way in Grown Ups.
Grown Ups, yeah.
He was Grown Ups, yeah, too, obviously.
In Waterboy, he was like, you can do it! Cut her fucking head off!
No, no, that's a Waterboy. Longest... That's Little Nicky.
No, that's Waterboy.
No.
Longest Yard.
Group hug in the shower tonight.
I think he originally was that like weird ass guy, and then they switched him over to, I guess, this crunchy type guy the last
game. He evolved from being like a creepy weirdo to an earthy crunchy guy.
Which it makes sense because he was like very, very weird. They probably have to keep up with the times. There's one more movie I'm thinking of recently that he was the same way, but he nails that part and it just makes it so much funnier. Also, Greg brought it up, the fact that the assistant coach is actually Kevin James' brother, who he plays a lot of Mitch. Yeah. He plays in Kevin James' like show a lot back in the day.
But that's his brother in real life?
Yeah. And neither of them have the last name James.
Yeah.
Riddle me that.
Coach Mitch, we can get on Coach Mitch. He's an icon to me.
Let's switch over to Coach Lautner, though, or whatever his name is in the movie. He is not a football coach. I played some football in my day, and unless Pee-wee football has gotten watered down a lot, I mean, he doesn't look like a coach at all either. He's way too.
I imagine he's what the Pop Warner coaches are like today.
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad. I think for them.
Coach Mitch is probably more closer to what you're familiar with as Pop Warner coaches, Greg.
Right.
Yeah.
Drinking at the games.
We can think of a few.
Snaps to that. I know those guys.
All right, let's get to the next part. So. Let's go. So at the next game, the team's losing again, and Payton kind of, he jumps up a little bit to help coach. He's giving signals to Lautner on the sidelines, like giving him like the head turn, yes or no, weak side safety blitz, whatever. They strip the ball, score a touchdown, game ends. They celebrate like they won, but they lost 38-6.
We scored a touchdown.
We scored a touchdown. I love that kid.
Is that Polly, the kid who ordered the pizza? Or no?
Polly,
yeah, he was ordering pizza in the middle of practice to get it delivered.
I mean, that's a great move. Honestly, that's a great move.
He was a great fat kid in a kid's movie character.
I don't think we've done this on this show in a while, but a few costume notes I took down here. Sean Payton, first time we see him in the stands, he has a Nike visor on. Next day, very next day in the movie, Adidas visor on. Now, the league is not sponsored by Adidas. That would never happen in real life. I just needed to point that out. That was unbelievable.
Talking about the wardrobe, I also want to bring this in. If I was him, I was like going on a plane and going back to my hometown and just trying to get away from it all, I would not have decked out in every single Saints piece of clothing I could find. I had just something that I kind of, you know, picked up. I feel like everyone would have been like, oh, you're a scumbag, but that's just me.
All he owns, man. He's a head coach. It's his life.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We put some tape on it. Remember back in middle school? No logos. Put some tape on it,
cover it up. Cover the logos.
Classic.
No, I mean, at that point, he was still appealing, James. Like, and I think he truly believed he wasn't going to be there forever. I mean, when he first checks in the hotel, he says, like, I don't know, 3 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm. This is true. It's a great hotel room, by the way.
Presidential suite.
All right, let's go on. So they're starting to set the stage for Payton to start jumping in and coaching the football team. So the next night he's at the bar. He orders a Manhattan. What's the name of the bar?
Some name.
Something McGillicuddy, something like that.
I'll take it up with so-and-so. So-and-so is what the bartender says.
But anyway, so Lautner comes in and they sit down and have a couple of Lone Stars. And they talk about the possibility of Payton joining the staff. And this is going to be, I'm going to introduce a new segment here for the listeners. It's listeners' pleasure. It's an impromptu script reading from the show, actual part of the screenplay here. And so we're going to have our resident actor play one of the parts. Stevie, what part? You want to play Lautner? You look like him, so you play that part. And who wants to play Peyton?
Well, I think James should, since he was late. That should be his punishment. He should.
All right, great. All right, so here's setting the scene. It's Peyton and Lautner. They're sitting at the booth on the bar talking over a couple Lone Stars. And James, you started off. Just read the scene, you know, top to bottom, like they did in the movie. Your best acting would be great. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Let me find the script here.
And by the way, fun fact, it's pronounced Lautner, not Lautner. E! News did a report on it, by the way. If anyone cares, but you know.
Well, I mean, you're the one that mispronounced it.
It's Lautner. That's what I said. I'm all ready, right. James, whenever you are, all right? Let's go.
Oh, we know you're ready, okay. Stevie.
All right, here we go. I mean, being the head coach of an NFL team, it's like going 100 miles per hour, 365 days a year.
Look, I figured. I've been coaching your sons in Pee-wee League, and I just met you last week.
Yeah, see, that's another reason. I don't want to whistle. I'm not even sure Connor would like that.
Look, being Sean Payton's son ain't easy. Not for a kid playing football in Texas. I mean, hell, my dad coached our local football team, and I never lived in down. You won the damn Super Bowl.
Whoa, I never pushed him to play.
No, but he did. It may be easier on him and you. And frankly, me, if you were on the field with us every day.
That was a great performance.
Bravo.
Really great. I think that...
Honestly, if I'm going to be honest, I think Stevie really showed his chops, and it just shows a true professional to an amateur.
You can see the difference there for sure. But that line, I thought that was like the crux of the movie right there. I've been coaching your son since Pee Wee League, and I just met you last week. It was a great line.
It was a nice little shot at him, too, to put that little...
Yeah, yeah.
Be like, oh, I'm going to get you to coach this team, yeah, if you want to or not.
All right, so let's go the next day when Peyton takes over the practice. So he picks up his... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. Well, we're still in that scene in the bar.
Okay.
This is a classic problem that I have with the recent Happy Madison movies. Coach Mitch comes in at the very end, yanks the bike off the wall in the bar, takes the chain, and runs away with the chain. It's just a joke that's gone way too far. Yeah, he rides a bike in the beginning, and we see it, and at the very end of the movie, he gets a kickstand from the kids. But it reminded me of in Hubie Halloween, when the kids are throwing stuff at Hubie when he's riding the bike. It's an overdone joke. So you guys are making faces at me, but I don't think it's funny. I think it's too much.
Every Adam Sandler movie has the reoccurring joke that goes throughout the entire film. You need to have something.
Because it's there, I'm supposed to like it? I don't know. I don't think...
You didn't think it was a nice moment when the kids gave him a kickstand?
Maybe the kickstand, but him yanking the bike off the wall in the bar is like, okay, I get it, Adam. Like, you gotta put this in, sure.
Oh, that's such a random thing to be upset about.
I didn't even notice, like, the bike joke, honestly. It didn't really even...
That's why I'm the movie critic.
Did he get a DUI?
He got a DUI. Yeah.
Oh, no. The doctor recommended it for his health.
Yeah, shank.
All right, so let's talk about the next game. The team's on the bus driving to the first game with Peyton as coach, and we meet the bus driver for the first time, who ends up being a pretty funny character to me.
Us.
And so at halftime, the team's looking a lot better. It's 13-0 at half. And Peyton makes a big switch here. Switches Marcos, who's the best player on the team, to running back. And he brings in this other kid to quarterback. And they got this whole like complicated playbook going on. What are you guys' thoughts on, you know, the coach's first try at taking over the team here?
I like the position change. I didn't like the implementation with the playbook without a couple run throughs, you know? You gotta have some walkthroughs.
Right.
I'd say. And get the players going, you know? They didn't know what they were doing out there. This isn't the Saints. Come on, coach. You gotta know who you're coaching.
Right,
yeah,
but
I'm right with you, James. I think they didn't even go... They didn't show a single, like, bit of walkthrough in practice, even. They gave it to him at the end of practice, and then was like, learn this for the game tomorrow. Obviously, they're not going to do that. They were barely running any plays to begin with. And I do want to say, the like whole reaction of just like the typical football dad.
Oh my
being
God.
Like, my son's a quarterback. You can't change him around. Like, nah, listen, he's a nasty running back.
Damn, and I like, wish even I'd said that.
These dads going up to question Sean Payton, who's literally an NFL coach. But it, down in Texas, you know that was happening.
I think that point.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I just throw this in there.
Go ahead.
You hear this almost every NFL game where a guy gets put into another position, either in college or in high school, from their coach. And it's just how it's done. I like that piece of it.
I think that point James made about Coach Payton not going over the playbook with the team showed his character arc throughout the movie, where at the beginning he's kind of treating them like professionals and just handing out the playbook. But then after this game, he brings them out to dinner and he teaches them with at the Mexican restaurant, the chips and all that stuff. And they kind of keep that motif going throughout the movie. So he's learning how to coach these kids like kids rather than NFL players.
I had that same thing as that big noted too. Marcos's dad, that character is far, far too accurate. Yelling, screaming. We should probably bleep this out. We should bleep this out to keep the audience guessing. But that character is dad in the stands. Just fucking yelling and bleep it out so we can get some suspense, get some clicks. You know what I mean? But that's him. That's dad. Bleep it out again.
What do you guys think about the relationship between... Stevie, you chime in here, between the father and the son at this point in the movie. They're starting to have some deeper conversations and getting to know each other better. Was that pulling on your heartstrings?
Not really, actually. By that point in the movie, I was a little drifting off, but I mean, it was still a nice relationship.
It's the beginning of the movie.
Well, right, Coughlin, thank you. You can leave now.
All right, let's cut to the end of the next game. So the team finally wins their first game.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
Not to cut you off, but you talk about the development of their relationship. When they first started hanging out more, when he was like driving him to practice, it was clear that the kid still had some resentment towards him for leaving. He hasn't been in his life very much. And then because of football, he's been showing up and he's been putting in the effort and he's been driving him to practice every day. And they're starting to build a little more of a bond. And when the kid finally says, like, oh, you know, you weren't around, you abandoned us, you went to the NFL. And finally, Sean Payton's like, okay, then ask me something.
Has this happened yet? And chronologically?
No, it hasn't
okay.
yet.
It hasn't, but go ahead.
It has, because they had started to do well after.
I think it happens right now. It happens right now after the dinner with the playbook.
After the dinner. Yeah, pretty much skipping ahead.
No. He's right where he's right on
okay,
pace.
So then we're right where we were.
Wait, yep. Was that when they were playing with the tacos on the table?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Finish the thought, Big.
So they have this deep father son conversation, and it's like, I don't even know you, and he's like, okay, so ask me something, and the first question he asks him is about coaching New Orleans in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Why onside kick? No. Why'd you do the onside kick?
See, that's a dumb question just because, like, that's what, it worked out. It's a good move. But what else is he supposed to ask him? He literally knows nothing about him. He's a strange – he is the same person to me who Sean Payton is as to he is, if that makes sense. Like, we'd both ask him a football question. He's a coach. That's it. He's not a dad.
I'm going to agree with James
here.
But
it's his dad.
Right, but he hasn't talked to him. If you're Connor and your whole life you're going to middle school and you're like
– I don't think it was his whole life either. I think we didn't get an exact timeline on like the layout for that.
It was 2010 to 2012 when they were going through the divorce. But either way, if say my dad was a coach of the Patriots and I was going to school with James every day, and James is asking me, why'd your dad do an onside kick? And I don't have an answer. Once I finally get his ear, I'm going to ask him because I have like,
that's
people
the
in my
first
life
thing. Not like, oh, did you miss me? Oh, did you ever think about us while you were gone for the last couple of years?
I think you need to think about the role that football had in Connor's life and the fact that he couldn't go to his dad and he probably has all these social pressures bleeding in on him and he just wants to know. Like, his dad is a superstar. He's one of 32 people in the world who does this job.
Yeah, and Brian, he probably honestly didn't really care. He probably didn't give a shit about his dad. And at that point, he wasn't thinking about that. He was like, why did you do that?
I think in the context of the movie, it makes sense that he asked that question. Like, if he asked, like, some real serious, like hard-hitting question to his dad, Like there'd be like a record screech in the middle of the movie. Just keeping it above football kept it light and kept the movie going on a good note. Okay, let's cut to the end of the next game. Peyton finally gets a team to win. Marco scores the game winning touchdown, and then from there they go on. There's a little montage of them going on a winning streak. But
awesome montage. Dan Patrick makes another appearance in a Happy Madison movie. He was in Hubie Halloween, was he not? He does the intro when they're Dan Patrick in the cafeteria when Hubie does the thing.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
the principal.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Patrick is boys with Happy Gilmore.
Now, was he in any of the grown-ups?
We should look into these. We should start a series on Happy Madison movies. We have a thing going here.
They had Shaq, obviously.
I feel like if he was in Grown Ups, we probably would have seen him at the Halloween party at the end of Grown Ups 2.
Wait, there's a Halloween party in Grown Ups?
Grown Ups 2.
I don't remember that.
Are you thinking of Hubie Halloween or something?
No.
Oh, no. Excuse me.
Oh, he's right.
It's not a Halloween party. It's a costume party.
Grown Ups 2, that's what Jimmy Tatro makes.
The end of Grown Ups 2, there is a costume party, not Halloween.
Okay.
Right, Pig? Wasn't that when Tatro was in it?
Who?
All right, so at the end of the winning streak montage, we still have one problem on the team. Everything's clicking and flowing except for one kid. The kid who's kicking the field goals, he's still missing because of this girl in the stands.
Harlan. Feel bad for Harlan. I mean, he's kicking the other kid in the butthole. Get a thought, James.
I have to throw this in there. We're talking about Dan Patrick being in these movies. This is an integral part. He is in Grown Ups. Can anyone guess Grown Ups 1? Can anyone guess? And just to give you a hint, it's a public place. It's like the only time they go out in public in that movie.
At the water, at the water park?
Yeah, the water park. Do you know who he was, though?
Lifeguard.
He was the guy at the ride when they get to the top.
Oh, so he was the next?
Yeah, next. Yeah, that guy. Oh, man, these are the Easter eggs that you find, you know, when you listen to our show.
That's a great eye, Greg.
Thank you. So Harlan, I feel bad for Harlan. At first, I didn't really know. Actually, in my notes I had, is that Harlan's sister? I didn't know if he, like, had an inferiority complex with his sister and he's looking in the stand.
Wait, wasn't there something else about one of these other movies where Greg had a thought like this?
No, but see, why was she there?
Was it Kate Big?
I thought people were in love.
Yeah, but who is she rooting for?
Wait, what was that from,
in
Big?
The end is...
Like,
Greg's complex. I think it was Kate. It was Kate. He was like,
it was something Kate, yeah.
I thought that they were having a romantic
relationship. Oh, right.
When it was Kate and the girl that was his daughter. Her daughter.
Oh, man. All right, what were you saying, James?
I'm with Greg. Like, why is he... Who is this girl and why is she sitting there?
Bro, clearly...
No, not clearly. You gotta think, when I watch these movies, I pause and I take my note. And then I type ... girlfriend ... So I caught on, but at first I didn't know.
You never had a moment in, like, middle school where there was a girl there and you got a little nervous?
No, I do, but who is she?
She's scouting for the porcupines. It's a good theory.
Shit, big brain.
No, she was there because she liked Harlan.
But
we don't know at that point.
Yeah.
So Harlan gets wicked nervous kicking field goals in front of the girl that he has a huge crush on.
All right.
We're overthinking this.
It would have been nice if, you know, maybe she was like someone else's sister, or, you know.
She was a fan of the team, I think. I don't know.
Just a fan.
She lives in the town. People go to the games. It's Texas.
That's true.
All right, let's go. I mentioned the Porcupine, so that's the next big game that they have. The dudes on the Porcupines are big. They're big.
Has Harlan had his big moment yet, or is that after?
That's not yet.
Okay.
We'll get to that. So that's after the Porcupines game. So they lose big to the Porcupines. And then at the next practice, Peyton makes
off on them.
They do. Peyton makes the vow to shut the scoreboard off on them in the championship game.
Oh, big foreshadowing. I didn't even know he said that.
Holy shit, wow. Didn't catch that.
Yeah, he goes, we're going to shut the scoreboard off them in the championship. And they're like, yeah, but coach, we ain't going to make it to the championship.
That means they had to win all our games.
And then, but the next scene is the Indian kid shows up outside the girl's house and...
Harlan.
Whoa.
Whoa, what?
That have some respect.
Harlan,
Flip Color. All right, so he goes outside her house with the whole team there, and they sing. What song do they sing?
First, he has a great voice.
Set the world in... Sing it, Stevie.
Karaoke, Stevie. Let's hear it.
So we set the world on
fire.
We can burn brighter
than the sun.
Yep, and then how does like a fire start? I forgot.
They brought these like lanterns float, and then one of them.
Bitch's idea. That drunk. Women love fire.
It was Coach Mitch's idea.
Women right. love and he these. Lights them up, and then it lands on the. Well, first they're at the wrong.
They're house. At the wrong house. Yep.
And then yeah. Paulie had a great line. The woman was like, "Do you know what time it is?" And Paulie's like, "Yeah, it's 7:30." And then they turn around, and the minivan's up in flames.
Right, and whose minivan is it?
Harlan's
the girl,
mother.
Right,
crush's mom. Yeah, that was a great scene. That's a great teammates too. Sporting boy.
Oh, they were there. They were providing background vocals.
Yeah. Ooh. I wish I had friends like that.
Stevie, next pod, I want a fucking list of that kid Harlan, that child actor, what he's been in and what he's gonna be in, because that kid's a star.
Yeah, Binge will watch that kid's career. You know, we'll watch that career throughout the years here coming up.
He's going to be in Adam Sandler movies from now on.
Would you say Harlan?
Harlan, H-A-R-L-A-N. The kid, the kicker kid from the movie we just watched. The one we're talking about right now.
Wait, he's also... Wait.
Oh, dude, off the top of the brain? Oh. No way.
Harlan...
Well, that's the act. That's the character's name.
Yeah. All right. Wait.
Keep it going. Where are we at?
All right, so after the fire in the car, we kind of cut ahead a little bit to the game. The teams won out; they're one game away from winning the championship.
This is
before the game. The wife's husband, what's the actor's name again?
Rob Schneider.
Yep. So he hands out these super logs to everybody, and so on they make it through the whole game. They have like a delayed reaction, I guess, but they're about to run the final play, and everybody starts throwing up.
Before we get there,
yep.
The lead up into the prep for that game, because this is a championship game we're talking about now, right?
One game away.
It's the semis.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, rainy. Okay, yeah. Continue. The vomits are over the top. That's my mood. Way too much.
I gotta tell you, I have an extremely weak stomach. There were several moments throughout that scene I thought I was gonna lose my lunch.
That was great. That was just a classic.
No, we haven't seen a throw up scene like that since Family Guy, James. That was not classic Sandler.
I feel like I've seen that in a Sandler movie before. No. 51st Dates with the, I think it's like a whale that throws up or something. Have you seen that one?
A classic Sandler movie is the throw up where he turns his head and you just projectile like extremely far, like that classic Sandler.
Right.
This takes it to a whole new level when you throw up and then you see the chunks on somebody. That's like okay.
But literally hit the other kid in the face.
But see, that's what I love about the Sandler movies, that like even this kind of serious one, it's like, okay, this is, and then all of a sudden he just throws this in there and it's like, oh my gosh.
Can we take a time out here? Stevie,
yes.
How do they do that type of thing in like, is that After Effects? Or do they have like a little secret puke pouch in the mouth that just projects it out like that?
It looks like CGI when I was looking at it. Is that the right word for anything?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Stevie.
Yeah.
It's just the graphics.
Weren't just like they had a mouthful of this fake throw up?
Maybe come on.
They were turning the faucet on.
There was too much force behind it to be just like somebody spitting something out.
So much.
It was technology, but like back in the day, they would have done something like that. Pretty sure it was technology. Why do you ask, anyways?
Just curious. You're the insider.
The pro. I love this lineup we have here tonight, boys.
All right, so let's move on to the lead up to the championship game. So Peyton's still in the hotel, and he makes a call to one of his buddies in the NFL, Big Cowher. Yep, big Bill Cowher, to get some advice for the championship game.
Another single wing offense. You're gonna want to take your linebackers, bring them down to
single wing. The Steelers ran it in the 50s.
You're going to want to take your wide receivers and bring them out the linebacker. A little foreshadow right there. Now, the single wing, I believe I did a little research. It's the same as the wing T offense, which is what we faced in the 2006 Massachusetts Super Bowl when Norwood lost to Charlton Dudley.
Oh.
Our C team, we were undefeated. That's what they ran. Very powerful offense.
So what happened? You didn't have the speed to match it?
I don't really know. We were great.
You didn't have the speed to match it. Yeah, the speed is very important with that. And we'll learn that in the championship game. So I'll go through kind of like the whole game here. So the Warriors get out to an early lead after they return the opening kickoff for a touchdown.
We haven't introduced this other character, and he's involved in the lead up to the championship game. Eric, the hotel worker. Yep. Classic. I mean, this is just like as football coach, football guy as you could get. He's just living in a hotel. Sean Payton is living off the suites down in the lobby area. And when there are no bagels left, he's ravenous. And he goes over to Eric and what did he say? He's like, are there any more? He's like, yeah, those are for my pregnant wife or something.
No. Eric was great, Greg.
His eggs were gross. Those were gross.
He was sitting there peeling hard-boiled eggs. He wouldn't give up any bagels. He was just a constant useless hotel worker throughout the entire movie. We have the boiling over hot tub that's in the room, so they bring up a fan to cancel that noise out. We have, when he's sitting there at the bar, he's like, oh yeah, the porcupines are really good, and the other coach is really, he's really quick. He gets the one-liners in there like no one else. And that's when Sean Payton throws the little bar peanuts at him or whatever.
Yeah,
you know. But I loved Eric.
I gotta say, I hated Eric. I hate.
You know why? Because honestly, he reminded me of you a lot.
Go ahead, expand on it.
Whoa.
Just pretty useless, hurting the situation. Kind of like how we tried to start this podcast today, and we had to delay ourselves because of you. Not very helpful.
2 hours.
See, the reason I hate Eric is when you go to a hotel, okay, and you want to stay, you know, you don't want to have to worry about waking up and not having bagels in the morning or having a hot tub in your hotel room. You just want to go back, relax, and enjoy yourself. He didn't step up. He stepped up when he had to make the photocopies. I'll give him that. Other than that, he was useless. I need a bagel in the morning. I need something.
I mean, this guy's running the whole show at the hotel. He's the front man. He's the cook. He's like the lifeguard up at the and like the server up at the pool. He's doing a lot there.
I'll give him that. He's underpaid and underappreciated.
Look, as an experienced hotel connoisseur,
what?
After my trip.
He spent months in hotels.
Stint of working up in New Hampshire.
5 years working on.
I can relate to Sean Payton in this instance, and I'll tell you what. As far as hotel workers go, Eric was one of the more helpful ones.
Oh boy, hot seat 4 seasons in Dartmouth, New Hampshire.
That's West Lebanon, right by the airport.
They're coming after you.
Say hello to.
We're gonna have to beep that out too.
All right, so the Warriors are in the championship game against the Porcupines. They get the opening kickoff for a touchdown. I'll just kind of go through it all. So they make a big stop on defense with the scheme that Payton got from Cower. And then the Porcupines respond, but then so do the Warriors to end the second quarter. So at halftime, we get the Warriors up by 1. But Coach Payton is only playing the good kids.
Yeah, Marcos and Connor.
Marcos and Connor, who are the best receivers on offense, had to go over and play linebacker. So the people that usually plays defense sat their ass on the bench the entire game. Well, Marcos and Connor were gassed.
Right, and there was a bit of a confrontation, a little bit awkward, between Payton and his son at halftime. I wonder if that really happened.
Ride the bench. That was another word. When he said that phrase, ride the bench, you go back and watch it. The Southern twang thing, it wanted to be there, but it wasn't there. It was just really weird football phrases that he tried way too hard on that freaked me out.
All right, so this is kind of, I'd say this is almost the climax of the story, like meaning-wise, what the story means. Coach is taking the fun out of football. He's taking it too seriously, and the kids just want to get back to having fun and playing football with their friends.
Yeah, and I think Connor does a good job at calling Sean Payton out on his bullshit. He's like, look, you're only here because you got suspended. You're not actually here because you care. And that's the way that your attitude has changed towards this team. You're treating us like an NFL team. Everyone's just out here wanting to play. We actually don't care if we're going to win this game or lose this game, but you're treating it like it's an actual Super Bowl. And
yeah, that's a stupid take. That's a horrible, moronic take. A good take is that he was there to help him win football games. That's what the coach asked him to do. And they weren't having fun when they were losing, and now they're winning, and now they're complaining. So a horrible take by you, Brian. It's terrible.
Bill Belichick, no fun in New England.
That's right. That just means you would be a terrible youth coach of anything.
Currently, back in the day, you'd be a great coach, though. That's what they taught us.
I thought you said the original coach was a horrible coach.
No. Greg said he has nothing to do like a football coach, or looks nothing like a football
coach. You said he was a bad coach. I mean, you know,
obviously he was bad. You're missing the moral of the story, James. So you're siding with mean Sean Payton? That's your takeaway from this movie?
I mean, you can make an argument either way here, not to be the fence man, but Sean Payton comes in, he teaches them an offense, they learn real football, and he gets them right to the brink of winning a championship. And does he want to step on the gas a little too much? Maybe. But do they want to win and carry that championship with them forever? I mean, maybe you just push Texas Connor and Marcos a little bit more.
This is Texas football. This isn't, you know.
Dude, this is 12-year-old kids we're talking about.
Yeah, and then the next kid out of Texas is going to be playing for the Dallas Cowboys someday.
But that, this is insane.
That Marcos this is your next running back for the Cowboys. He's Zeke.
You sound like Marcos' dad right now. That's the stance you're taking. Right, like you're one of those dads.
No, I agreed when he changed positions. He's got to be the best.
No, this isn't the NFL. We're talking about Pop Warner football.
Then don't ask an NFL coach to coach it. They were winning. That's what he brought him in to do.
We'll rediscover this discussion in the second half when coach makes a big decision. But before we get out of halftime, I want to go back into the actor's studio here with Stevie. Just throughout the movie, what do you think about the acting performances on the field, like the kids playing football? Do you think it looked realistic? Or how is their like physical acting performance?
No, I actually did thought it was realistic. But I had a question. Were those at the end of the game, so were those kids actually in the other team? Were they actually in their age group or no? That's a genuine question.
Tough to tell, I think. I don't think we got a good look at them. The porcupines you're talking about.
Stevie, I'm going to say yes, because sometimes you'll go on Instagram and look at like a Texas football team of 12-year-olds and they literally look like they're bigger than Brian. Which
you spend a lot of time looking up 12-year-old Texas football players.
Right. It seems like they recruit a little bit. They got a little recruiting going on there.
They say that those kids are not of age. So I was like, wait, that's kind of like a good point. They looked very old, but back to your main question.
Nah, I think they were just really good, Stevie.
I mean, there are kids dunking in middle school these
days. But it was a great performance on and off the field by those kids.
How'd you guys?
I'm gonna have to disagree with him there, Eric. I think that some of the hits, they didn't look realistic. I mean, they had the sound effects to back it up, but some of these hits, they're like brushing arms and people are running back 5 yards and getting buried below the dirt. I don't know.
I saw a couple targeting calls, I think.
To be honest with you, during all the football scenes, not at one point was I like, this is so bad, it's distracting, taking away from the story.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you, big.
I think football guy, though,
you know what real football
James, looks like. I have literally played real football, and you never have.
Here we go.
Well, I mean, I don't think sitting on the bench. I could sit on the stands, and you sit on the bench. What's the difference?
I still played football, and you have never played before.
Neither have you. We sat on the bench. I was sitting next to you the whole game. What are you talking about?
What bench? You went to a different school than me.
I stopped by and watched those. Someone had to hang out with you.
You know what Big could have been? Could have been Dennis. He was kind of scared to hit throughout this whole game, a character we haven't introduced. And then Sean Payton just throws him in a running back, or a fullback, rather. A position where you have to make the most contact with players. And he had a pretty good game. In the second half of this game that you're going to talk about here in a sec, he popped off.
Sean Payton would eat Big's mom's cooking?
Yes, Sabrina. Play this for her. Yes, he would.
All right. So in the second half, Peyton concedes and he puts some other kids in. And then we're down to in the fourth quarter. Game's close. The Warriors block a field goal, giving them a chance to drive down and win the game. And they drive down the field, and poor clock management, I'll say. But
Andy Reid.
Yeah, Peyton calls it. I mean, they're not running a play. Peyton, like 30 seconds, like tick off the clock. Peyton calls a timeout with 5 seconds left. They could have run multiple plays. They had timeouts. And he opts to kick a field goal with the kicker, Harlan, who has not made a field goal all season. And then I'll let you guys take it from there.
This is not how the movie was supposed to end. I thought this was a joke. I really thought I was getting pranked. I thought they were going to win the game, right? That's what we're... Even though at this point he had put the backups in and given Marcos and Connor a rest, I really thought they were going to win the game. I didn't think... Or maybe... I don't know. The fact that there was a field goal to tie, I thought at least he was going to kick the field goal and tie the game. But he didn't even kick the field goal to tie the game. They lost. It was such a bad ending. That's why it's a freaking kernel.
That shows the completion of the arc of Sean Payton throughout this journey of coaching this youth football team. He realizes at the end, it's not ultimately about the win. He's going to give this kid a chance who's been showing up every day, doing the same thing everyone else is doing. And then on that big win streak, he wouldn't play him because he wouldn't kick field goals. They would go for two instead of extra points because he was bad at kicking, but he was still going and trying and practicing every day. And they had done the whole thing of trying to work him through his nerves. They tried to get him to confront the girl with the whole singing routine. It was the whole arc closing.
Okay. This is...
Wouldn't that arc end with him hitting the field goal?
This is how
That's where they pivot on you.
The entire game, they were going for two and not getting it. If you like watch the scoreboard at the end of the first, I think they had 18.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah,
I will say,
or they were trying to were they trying to cook field goals and missing it though? Or were they going for two?
Yeah. No, they were going for the extra.
I guess
at one point they had a six.
No, because they said they hadn't put Harlan and he hadn't played in like weeks.
He didn't play. Yeah. So hypothetically, they could have just scored the touchdown and then ran him out for the extra point. And if you miss it, you miss it. But if you make it, then it's a good feel-good moment. You get to play. It's a win-win.
Yeah,
but they would need to kick the field goal. They would already have won, right? Point.
Yeah,
there would have been no time on the clock.
There would have been plenty of time if Sean Payton could manage the clock.
All right, so
I just thought it was a missed opportunity. I thought he should have made the field goal, and they should have carried him off, and he should have kissed the girl, and that's how it was going to end.
I like winners.
But he did one even better.
Yeah, he missed a field goal, but he hit the scoreboard and got the girl anyways. And the team seems happier that the scoreboard went up in fireworks than they are if they won the game. And that's what matters.
But why was the crowd cheering? That made no sense. Just because the kids were happy? The crowd is going nuts. Like, he kicked a 45-yarder to end it and walk off.
I will say it was a boot. It wasn't anywhere near.
Yeah, because they were excited. Because the kids were excited. We're talking about youth sports. We're not talking about high school or college or the NFL. The kids went from being the worst team in the league to being in the championship to being right there, and everyone was involved. That was the whole point.
Let's go around the room here. When you were a kid and playing youth sports, were you happy to lose, Greg?
No.
James?
I did not enjoy losing.
Stevie?
Did you play youth sports? What?
Stevie, do you like losing?
So in Pee Wee A's, never lost. Undefeated, baby. Went to Lake Placid, we took it home. So, but like, if I did lose, then no, I would not like losing.
But right. The whole point of growing up is you start on the bench and you work your way up. That's just how life is, you know? You start, you let the older kids, you know, in CYO, Mr. B would sit my ass down for the whole game, the whole season. Because these kids are 3-4 years older than me. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to go in there and lose the game for them. I like to win. And then eventually when you're the older kids, you tell the other kids to sit their ass down. You watch it how it's done. And then that's how life works. You know?
Do you like to lose, Big?
No, I don't like to lose. But I wasn't one of those kids that was at the end of the bench.
Brian, me and you never watched a CYO game when we were the youngest kids.
In fourth grade, when we were playing fourth and fifth grade.
Oh my god.
We didn't play in the playoffs, and we lost. It's not like we won. We went all the way and won the championship.
I know, but I'm just saying we wouldn't have got there anyway, you know?
Well, you know what? We're the real winners here because we just found a way to talk for over an hour about this movie that I thought was Rotten Tomatoes. And we've pulled out just about every bit of content except
That's
for the
crazy.
Last...
This was not a Rotten Tomatoes movie.
I really, like, if we're being honest, all jokes aside, for Happy Madison movies, I thought it was probably the worst one I've ever seen.
Would you watch it again?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, let's give our final thoughts. I kind of agree with both of you, unfortunately. I'm pulling a James here, but I think it's a kid's movie. It's a kid's movie, and if you think about it like that, it's an okay movie. And if you had a kid and you were an adult watching it, you might enjoy it a little bit more than some other kids' movies. I guess that's true, too.
You can go back. I watch Toy Story once a month.
I don't think that...
Well, that's because it has good memories to it. So
Disney cartoons...
Rose-colored glasses. Good point, Stevie.
What? Wait, what?
I said good point to Greg for saying it's just a lot of nostalgia and good memories connected to some of the movies when he was a kid.
Oh, okay.
What were you saying, James?
Pixar movies don't count as kids' movies because those are great for everybody. But this is a movie you watch on like a Tuesday night or something, and you know, that's it. It's on TV, you flip it on, you watch it. It's a good movie.
Yeah. And you forget about it by Wednesday morning. And you're on to the next thing.
Yeah, dude, it's good to see.
If this was like, if this was on like the regular rotation of like ABC Family, or like if this was a Disney Channel movie, you'd be watching it all the time.
Right, but it's not, and it will never be on TV.
But that's the same type of like demographic they're going after.
If we put this up against some of the old Disney Channel movies, like Double Teamed, that basketball movie, or some of those ones. I think those ones would come out on top.
Luck of the Irish.
Double Teamed is one of the worst movies I've ever watched in my life.
I don't know if that's true or not. I have a good...
Eric, we can do a podcast on Double Teamed, and I will break down to you. The basketball scenes in that movie are pathetic.
What about when she breaks her ankle? She's outside shooting hoops, and she breaks her ankle. It's a pivotal moment in the movie. There's no... gut-wrenching seriousness about this movie like there was about that movie. And I think that's what was missing, maybe.
There was nothing. Until Sean Payton showed up at the very end, I didn't so much as smile. That's not true, really, but...
That's crazy! You weren't happy when the kids were all celebrating, excited?
I was happy for Harlan. Really just for Harlan. Everyone
right,
else.
That's all that matters. That's what it was about.
On the next episode of Binged, Genius, a Kanye trilogy.